I'm really humbled to be speaking to you guys this morning, because Lord knows I'm not an expert on families. So we've been in a series talking about seasonal stressors. This time of year is supposed to be good and happy and wonderful, but we have these things that cause all of us anxiety and shift our focus away from the things that can be good and positive and the reason for the season, right? But today, I'm not just going to talk about families. I'm going to talk about our relationships. I love animation. I'm really happy to be back inside. Marquette, let me know that you guys love a handout. So Sharon has got us a handout. All right, so I'm not going to assume that we all have terrible families, right? We love our families. We all have different things going on with our families, but I will say that as a pastor, near 100% of the conversations that I have with people are about their families. Almost 100% of the time, it's some sort of family stress. So we're going to do a few things that we can do ourselves that maybe make this time of year less stressful. I will say one thing about family stress is that, have you guys ever heard the phrase, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's apathy, right? So if the reason we're having these feelings about our families or about our relationships is because we care. Because if we didn't care, if we were apathetic about this connection, then it wouldn't affect us emotionally. It wouldn't affect us with stress. So that's a good place to start, is that somewhere inside us, it matters. For some people, this is a really hard thing to think about and to talk about. So if it's getting difficult, just like take a breath. You're okay. So we're going to keep it real simple. We're going to do the ABCs. All right. So our first A is acceptance. Does that hurt when I say the first thing to understand about not being stressed about our families is acceptance? That's a really, whatever the situation is, that's a really hard thing to come to. And I want to suggest that the reason it might be hard is because acceptance is actually the last stage of grief. So if it hurts the word acceptance, maybe you're somewhere else in these phases. Are you guys able to see the PowerPoint at all? I'll read it to you. So when it comes to family or Thanksgiving or Christmas or the holidays, you might recognize denial when you say it's going to be just like it was before. Maybe you're grieving something being different or someone not being there or something having changed significantly. Another thing you might say is, as long as we don't talk about fill in the blank, it'll all be fine. Like, let's just not think about that. Another phase of grief is anger. It's all their fault that this is different. Why are they making this impossible? Or fill in the blank is ruining my holiday. Bargaining. I think a lot of us do this with the holidays. I'm going to work super hard and then it's going to be perfect. Right? You're trading something for an outcome. If I do fill in the blank, this relationship will improve. Or depression. It will never be good again. Doing nothing is better than it being different. And then finally, acceptance. This is how it is. Now what? It is okay to be in any of those phases. You don't have to be at acceptance, but maybe it's just helpful to recognize, like, maybe the pain or the stress that you're feeling is because you're somewhere in there. So feel free to write more things on your handout. If you feel like the cause of your stress this season is one of these phases of grief or something has changed about your holiday or about your family. All right. The next time that we need acceptance is when there's no change, right? So how many of us are going back to the same family, the same house, the same meal, and hoping it'll be different, right? Sometimes there's nothing you can do to change the people. We have to be able to accept for ourselves the things that we can change and accept the things that we can't change. Going back and hoping that things are going to be different just because it's the next year, is going to be a letdown. So most likely the people or the environment, it is what it is. They're people, and all of us and our families and our people in relationships are dealing with different, like mental stresses, right? And mental wellness and anxieties. And Marquette and I, we realize after we argue sometimes that it was our anxieties colliding, right? Like we were both anxious about different things, and it became a really stupid argument, like whether or not Office Depot is good or bad. Like that was a long one. Yeah, we just get stressed about stuff sometimes, and like we just collide, you know? And there's nothing that you can do to change the people that you are going to see. And that's not your responsibility. So you can just, like, take that weight off your shoulders. It's all about who we are, not who we are making other people be, right? We're not in charge of making them be a certain way. So we're focusing on this scripture today, which says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. So when we are interacting with people or in a stressful situation, we're going to try to create a space within ourselves where we can be this person, no matter where we are, whoever we're around. So that, we come to the next one, is we have to accept ourselves. Marquette talked about this last week. I am a, you remember? Finite creature, and I have limitations, right? We have limits. We can't go and be everything to all people. We have wounds, and we have anxieties. So you must go back or have your family come and accept your own mental wellness and work within that. Accept your own life circumstances, whether you have children that need naps or like Sarah, parents that need to be taken care of. You know, you work within your life circumstances. Work around your wounds. Acknowledge that it's okay. And accept your own goodness and brokenness. And show up as your whole self, but not more and not less. Like, just be present. All right, what's B stand for? Anyone recognize this? All right, so Sarah's got it. Boundaries. This is our little fence that we use to illustrate boundaries. Get it out every few years. This is just really something good to learn. And boundaries sound like a bad thing. But we're going to talk about something with boundaries, and that boundaries are about you, and that's okay, right? I think we've often thought that we need boundaries, or I need boundaries because of them, right? They're the problem, and so I need a boundary. But boundaries are about me, boundaries are about you, and that's okay. My friend from seminary, all he wanted to be when he was in seminary is he wanted to be a prison chaplain. And now he is. And every day he gets up and he goes into the prison, and for 8 to 10 hours a day, he sits with people who have murdered other people, abused other people, hurt children, planned and done terrible things. And I can't spend an hour with Uncle Joe, right? Like, so it's okay that I can't do that, and he can do that, right? So my friend, it's okay that that's his job, and he can do that. The difference is Uncle Joe's a fictional person. The reason that he can do that and I can't is Uncle Joe pushes my buttons and knows my buttons and knows my wounds, right? And I have wounds, and we have wounds from repeated interaction. And my friend, there's nothing they could say or could do that would rile him up, because their opinions and their actions have no bearing on him as a person. So our boundaries are about us. It doesn't matter if the person may be terrible. They don't have to be terrible in order to create a boundary. Does that make sense? And that's really important, because I think a lot of times we feel like we need to say, this person did X, Y, Z, so I have to have this boundary. And that means we have to make a villain in order to feel worthy of creating a boundary. When really, we don't have to make them the villain to recognize in ourselves, like, oh, I'm not my best self in this situation. I need a volunteer. Danielle, thank you. Here, wait, just one second. The second thing about boundaries is boundaries are not a tool for behavior modification. So I'm not going to put up a boundary and say, Anjanette, I'm never coming over unless you get rid of your cat, right? Like, you know, I love cats, but that's an example. Like, we're not putting up a boundary in order to force someone else to do something. It could be something more like, I'm allergic to cats, but you could come over here, right? You don't want to use your boundaries that you're drawing in order to manipulate the situation. So I think we can feel really justified sometimes in kind of exerting our will over the situation for the name of a boundary. But boundaries should always be I statements. Like, I need, so I am going to do ... right? Because we can't change other people. We can't expect them to change for us. All right, Danielle, now it's the time. Come on up. All right, where do boundaries go?
In between people.
On the property line.
Okay. For those of you who know Nathan, I texted Nathan this week and said this fence looked a lot smaller when you used it.
Yeah. So kind of the thing that we've been talking about is the use and abuse of boundaries. Hi, nice to meet you. Okay. This boundary is on the property line. What it would look like for the boundary to not be on the property line could be something like this. I'm available whenever. Totally up to you. All right, now Danielle, come on over. Now, secretly, Danielle is on my property, but she doesn't know that, and I feel like I need more space. And you're staying too long, and you should have known to go, or you should have known that that wasn't going to be good for me, and so I am feeling resentful that Danielle is all in my space. Right, why aren't you already gone? Right? But really, this was my fault, right? Danielle doesn't know where the property line is. Back up. My kids are on a schedule, and I really would love to see you, but we got it ended at 8 p.m. Sound good? Great. And I feel great, and I get to connect with Danielle at a safe distance because she's scary. All right, Danielle, I'm so excited about Thanksgiving.
Me too.
I can't wait for us to come over and just spend the whole week with you. And like, I've really been tired, so I'm going to need you to watch the kids for a couple of hours in the evening. Is that all right?
Even more interesting.
Yeah. So I'm having a great week, right? And Danielle, are you going to start being a little bit passive aggressive?
Yeah, I'm a little stressed now.
Yeah, you're a little stressed. Your house is getting a little dirty. Yeah. Yeah. Danielle, is that okay with you?
You know what? No, it's not, but...
Oh, what would work for you?
Maybe if we find some sort of compromise.
Okay, yeah, like...
Maybe you watch them a little bit more.
Okay, yeah.
Stay for a little
bit, but... Be specific. Okay, okay. Danielle is so generous. 5 days.
Five more, that's a lot. That's
5 days is the max.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks. I'm so glad. I'm so glad we can be good neighbors. So the thing about putting the boundary in the correct place is that it feels rude sometimes. It feels rude to say, hey, this is really my limit, like... In your head, you can say, for my own mental health, I need my evenings. Or for my own mental health, like, we're going to have to order food, right? Whatever it is, it might feel upsetting or rude to people, but what it really is it's protecting your relationship with them. Because if you don't have that boundary, you're the whole time you're just going to be angry.
Yep.
You're just going to be frustrated that they're stepping on your property and that they don't know that they're doing it.
Right.
All right, it's time for you to go home.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Danielle.
How much are you selling those for?
I don't know. I don't want to build another one. So... So boundaries are about us, and that's okay. Doesn't have to make the other person the villain. They're not a punishment. They're not a tool for manipulating the people around you, and they should go on the property line.
Amen.
All right, so this is the last letter of the alphabet. Only got three letters. All right, what's a C? What is C? Any guesses? Children. How about connection? Right? And so connection, as we've talked about, hinges on our acceptance of the situation and the setting of good boundaries. If we can't accept the real situation, then we're going to be frustrated and anxious. And we'll go home, or we won't go home, which is worse. And if we don't have good boundaries, then we're going to be frustrated and anxious. And that's not what the holidays are for. That's not what any of us imagine when we like watch those holiday movies, right? We want to connect. How many of you guys have come home from a holiday or sent your family home from a holiday and thought, we didn't ever talk about anything, right? Same conversation every year. It was just stressful, and I don't feel like I know these people or have connected with these people at all. So I'm going to give you a tool for that. So first of all, you're going to have to sit down with yourself and figure out what your situation looks like and what you need in that situation to be filled with mutual affection and love. Sometimes there are certain situations that the only way for there to be mutual affection and love is to not get together. Right? I'm going to say that so that you know that that is a thing. There are certain situations where that is true. But for those times that you find a way to gather and to celebrate and to be with the people that you're relating to, a good tool is called a love map. And this is actually from a couples counseling idea where the foundation of a relationship is building a love map about the other person, which essentially means you are creating a map of their internal mental world, right? So I know about Marquette the things that typically are stressful for her. I know the things that she thinks about during the day and the things that she doesn't think about during the day. I know the people in her life that she talks to on the phone regularly. So find someone, think about someone who you're going to get to see and that you really wish to connect with. And find a time to start just asking them questions that help you build this love map for them. So simple things like, oh, who have you talked to this week? Or who from past years do you stay connected with? What is the thing that is causing you the most stress recently? Not just how's work, but what's your boss like? Or do you get along with your coworkers? Tell me about them. Building this love map with these people, it builds empathy, right? So you start to understand the way that they're experiencing the world. And in return, like, they'll probably ask you some of those questions. So our last one is selective vulnerability. Marquette's all about vulnerability. She's reading a book right now. But selective vulnerability. So the only way that you build close relationships with people is by being able to trust them. And you don't know if you can trust them unless you test it. So in these boundaries and knowing what you know, choose a time to open up to someone and share something, part of your love map, something that is causing you stress or something that you think about all the time. And I'm going to give you a tip. When you do this, tell them you're doing it before you do it, right? So, like, don't just, like, slide in something that's, like, sensitive to you into casual conversation. You got to, like, prompt them by saying, like, hey, I really appreciate the way that you listen. This has been something that I've been thinking about. Just giving them some cues that, like, hey, I'm trusting you here, and I'm giving you a chance to, like, respond positively. And that kind of, like, giving and sharing is what eventually, like, builds this connection among you and the people that you love or are trying to love. It also just allows us to, like, be less self-focused. If we create a space where we feel safe, we don't have to be aggressive or be anxious. We can focus more on how the other people are feeling in that situation. Because we want goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and mutual affection and love to be the center of our gathering here among us and among whoever we're celebrating with this season. So that is all I've got. Simple. ABCs, right? Super easy. Yes, Sharon.
This is a shameless plug. if the thing that is driving you crazy is the thing that is politics, go to braverangel.org. BRAVERANGELS.org. There may not be a Families and Politics workshop for Thanksgiving, but there will be one for Christmas.
Yes. I also think that sometimes the reason people talk about politics is because they've kind of got a script already, right? And you don't have a script for what it's making you feel anxious,
yeah.
Right? So you feel, if you're asking these love map questions, hopefully you can dig deeper into the things that are actually causing them personal stress or personal happiness. One last tip. As adult people, and even like we should teach this to our children, as adult people, you should feel the freedom to ask people a question and then tell them it's okay if you don't want to answer. And you also can have someone ask you a question and you can say, I don't really want to talk about it. You know, that's a good boundary to draw to.